Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, Serial Data, and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Whoop, whoop. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Well, I've got the scoop on one of the biggest news items came out of Tempe, Arizona this weekend. I am here with my friend and witness to the fall heard around
Arizona.
Justin Martindale, what a fucking weekend.
Woo, it was fun, huh? What's new?
If you have not heard, I fainted on stage. And I want to tell you guys all about it to all my friends that are texting me that are saying, like, Josh Fleck, what happened? I really don't have the time to text what happened. Okay, that's the joy of having a podcast like Carrie Bradshaw and Shay Diaz.
Yes.
Okay, so that you can listen to this and you can hear the whole story. You can hear Justin's perspective. I mean, first of all, let's just start out with how great the weekend started out. And I am wearing sunglasses.
Because it's bright in here. Yeah.
I really don't want to reveal how bad it is.
Yeah.
But I have two completely black eyes, which I guess is a result of when you hit the back of your head really hard or something. The vessels in your eyes are so sensitive that the blood goes there. And And I'll talk about that of when I noticed that for the first time, because it was like a day later. but the weekend started out great. We had the show Friday night, which one show Friday night at the Tempe Improv, two Saturday. I hadn't done stand-up since end of November, and I was leading up to it. I was a little nervous because I hadn't done it in a while. I couldn't find my stand-up notes. I was doing a bunch of new stuff, but I had the funnest show ever. You were great. It was so fun. We had such a fun time. It was sold out.
Sold out. You had your She by Sheree pants on.
I did. I wore joggers for the first time, which is like, I bought these satin joggers. What's the brand? Sink something? C-I-N-K? C-I-N-Q? Kind of expensive. Anyway, with a blazer by Veronica Beard. Yes. And I originally had a t-shirt on, and then I felt it was a little Captain Sandy.
So then I went
and put a satin top on. I was loving my outfit, you know, loved my stand-up, had the best time. You and I did a bunch of meet and greet photos after on stage. Here we are, just loving life. Everyone's so nice. We went out with Annie, who was here, thank God, because she had a girlfriend who lives in Phoenix. So she and her girlfriend came out with us. We got some food at Montauk, and then
Montauk,
we went to
BS West,
a gay bar that had drag queens.
Yeah.
You're being a little LA snob right now.
What do you mean?
it was good. They were very nice.
Yes.
They were very nice, and it was fun, but not a crazy night.
In the least, it was like
we went home, went to sleep. The next day, my son, who lives in, goes to ASU. The hotel we're at, he did an electric skateboard to my hotel. Peter, as you know, always likes to pick a place that has a free breakfast.
Yes.
So I said, come, we have a free breakfast, but we have to get it before 10
at our hotel.
So he rolled up at 9:30. The breakfast. I was like, my boy's not having this. I'm not having this. You had it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we went to some other cute place around the corner and had a great breakfast. Then we went to my nephew's house. What was great is that Peter's sister, Karen, and her husband have lived in Arizona for years. Her son graduated from ASU, bought a house. He's a young entrepreneur, YouTuber, bought a house. We go to his house. He lets us borrow the car. Drake and I, we go to Nordstrom. We see some Juicy Scoopers there. I buy Drake some clothes. Then we go to have lunch at like 2. Mm-hmm. Kind of a late lunch. I had like half of a burger saved. Going to save the half for later because I had a little fridge in my room. And half of a beet burrata salad. Also took that home because I'm like, I might be hungry when I get home. Got to the show. And you and I both said, no, we'll eat in between the shows because we had another show at 9:45.
Right.
I wasn't that hungry at that point.
And I had a late lunch too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I had a half of a Red Bull. Mm-hmm. Not even a full, half of a sugar-free Red Bull, the small ones, which I do all the time. It's on my rider. And I also came out on stage with a water. Now, when you were on stage, and by the way, you were so funny Saturday night.
Thanks.
I mean, I liked you Friday, but I didn't think Saturday was funnier, okay? And I was even going to, like, write you a note.
Well, I was the show Saturday, so.
And I was almost like, I should write him a note. And say you were so funny tonight and leave it in the green room. Oh, but I didn't.
That's okay.
Well, I should have. Based on what happened next, I really should have.
I love your woulda, coulda, shouldas. I should have left you a note.
And so then I get up and now I'm wearing a different blazer.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a leather blazer with this little Alice and Olivia like chain little top. That's like spaghetti strap and black jeans and little shoes that are not high and they're pretty comfortable. Vince Camuto. Okay. Very, very inexpensive at Nordstrom. Anyway. And I stood up and I was like, I feel slightly weird. I probably should have had a little something, but I'll be fine.
Yeah. Because I had a full coffee in the green room.
And you
night.
Offered me a coffee, but yeah. I'm like, I already had half of a Red Bull. Yeah. Let's like not overdo the caffeine. Come out, and there's a little room off to the side of the stage. So I'm there. I'm hearing your last thing, mm-hmm. which was, can we do a happy birthday to your boyfriend, Evan? Happy birthday. Glad he had a good one. Anyway. Forever. His birthday is going to be the anniversary of the fall. Okay. So now, throughout my fall tour, I was coming out to She's a Brick House.
Uh-huh.
She's a brick. House. But on Friday night, when the audio girl came in, I go, you know what? Mm-hmm. I had so much fun doing karaoke to WAP with Drake and Brandon, who knew every single line.
Which is weird.
And great. At the mm-hmm. same time, I'm like, I'm going to do it to that. So I did that Friday. And I'm like, I'm going to keep it for Saturday. It was such a fun thing to do. So I came out and I was really excited getting into it. Now, this is one of, I will say about 3 years ago, Drake, when he was 16, saw my stand-up act at the Tempe Improv. And it went fine, but it was all different stories, okay? I talk a lot about Drake. At lunch, I said, Drake, just know it's not totally how I feel, but, you know, it is fun stuff. And he's like, it's fine, Mom. He's like, do you just not want me to go? I'm like, no. Garrett and his girlfriend, his cousin, mm-hmm. and my nephew are taking you to Dave and Buster's. I want you to have a fun night. Like, no. There was a little part of me that was like, maybe I don't want you to go. Because I knew it was – here's the thing. How do you feel when there's really close people in the audience? I kind of have a better set when there's nobody I know that's, like, personal to me.
Right. I feel the same way. When people are like, we're here, we're in the audience.
Yeah.
Like, just shut up. Let me do my thing. I'm glad you're here. Just keep it to yourself. I don't want to know.
Sometimes you get a little in your head about
it. Oh, yeah.
It. Yeah. And or all of a sudden you start telling a joke and like I have a friend who's a widow, mm-hmm. you know, and I have a couple years ago she was in the audience and I have a joke, you know, about my Dateline and, you know, Peter dying fantasies. And I was like halfway through, I'm like, holy fuck. Like my friend's husband died like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
So sometimes you kind of like get in your head about.
You're like, oh, this might be a little sensitive and I'm sorry, but here we go.
Yes. So, but you know, I'm excited. So, and Drake told me where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
Up in the balcony, but on the first row. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to see his face or anything. And my son is 19. So, okay. So anyway, so I start to dance and I get into the WAP dance. Mm-hmm. I do a booty drop.
You did do a drop.
I drop, I dance, and I make a quick joke about that the U.S. Open, because my son's a golfer, is the Waste Management Open. And Drake and I joked that day about it being such an uncute name. He's like, you're right. It's not the BMW Open. It's not the blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I'm just going to say that because it's local, whatever. So I say that, and then I say this, and then this happens. Okay, so we're going to play it.
Trigger warning.
Yeah, I don't mean to brag. I don't care, but I want you to know, double vaxxed, booster, flu shot, and I'm going to be honest, I have the shingle shot too. And I still get my period. What? Yes. Traveled, went to Mexico twice, did shows, meet and greets, never got COVID. Clearly, Jesus loves me the most. Seriously. So nice. So nice.
Boom! Somebody once told me the world. I mean,
so there we go.
And can I just say?
And yes, please say, and then I'll tell you what was going in my head.
This was, well, nothing was
now,
going
where
on.
Where were you? Were you in the green room?
So did I
you
had see left.
It? Okay,
so, you got on stage.
Yeah,
I stayed for a little bit just to see if you know what you were doing, and then I walked back to the green room. Now in the green room they had a huge TV much like this up on the wall, so I walked back in there, got on my phone because my friend was like, hey, my brother's coming to the next show,
right?
Are we on the list? And I'm like, yes. So at that time I'm looking at my phone and I hear gung, 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 which was you falling,
right?
And I look up and I see you on the ground and I'm like,
that's
well,
not
she doesn't
act.
Do that. Yeah. What is that? And then I like, wait a minute. And then like the guys come out and I'm like, holy shit, did she just like pass out? So I'm walking around. The staff is kind of like doing this. And everyone in the audience is kind of like goofed because they're like, was this part of the act?
Right.
Because you literally were like, you were like, and Jesus loves me. G-g-g.
Right.
And, you know, and right. And so everyone took care of you. They took you off stage. Now, when everyone started writing this and making these, you know, articles about like, oh, Heather McDonald passes out on stage, they're saying that you made fun of the unvaccinated, which I'm standing my ground and saying, yeah. Which, sorry,
yes.
Too soon, standing my ground. you know, she wasn't making fun of that. She was just letting everyone know that she got the shots. She's, you know, everything.
Well, I say that because it's the truth.
It is.
And
the truth.
I told a funny story about how hard it was to get my booster that I I think you're with when I had to go to the two rehabs. To try to wait in line to get the booster. And I also say it to make the people feel confident that I have followed the rules. As someone in entertainment, we have to get vaccinated.
We have to do it.
And, but I also say, and I said it the night before, like, I'm not judgmental of whatever anybody wants
to do.
Like, but I was like, you know, hey, like, I do feel a little braggy when in LA they ask for my card because they put the flu shot. So my whole card is full now.
Yeah, you've got a Starbucks stamp.
I have all
stamp.
Four.
Yeah.
I've got all four. two vax, the booster, and the flu. And then, because I am over 50, I did get the shingle shot. And I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. I have the shingle shot and I currently have my period. So, and that's something I've always joked about, that I still get my period.
Me too.
Owed to Brandy Glanville, who would bring it up a lot. So I just was like, and then I go on to do jokes about, you know, other funny things about like COVID and my kids getting vaccinated and that, you know, it just leads to a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I said that, I remember looking out. I could see everything. My vision never like went out. But I had the weirdest like dizzy kind of a situation. And I'm holding my mic. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, right before that I was thinking, ooh, is this leather jacket too hot? Am I going to have to take this off halfway through?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I don't love the outfit without it, but it's not like I can't wear it. Like, you know.
But the shirt was solid.
The shirt was solid. Yeah, really hot. I didn't. The bra would have might not looked great because you could kind of see it, but it was tan, and you know, it looked cuter with jacket. Like, gives me more of a waist with jacket, but I like would have been fine. So I was thinking, Ooh, maybe this leather is too hot.
Because in that in that club, we talked about that too the night before. It was a club that was cold, but it was hot as well. It was really strange.
Yeah,
because remember the photographer was like, yeah, you may want to keep your jacket on because it's
cold in there, but on stage it's different.
But on stage it's different, yeah.
So I remember thinking that, and then and I was like, wow, what the fuck is happening here? This better pass soon.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to do the rest of my act, like, for an hour. Like, I go for, like, an hour and 10, you know? And honestly, that's all I remember.
So weird.
And then when I woke up, it was out of that movie scene where...
Heather?
Yes!
Heather?
It really was. It was, like, four or five faces around me. One woman with short hair, another woman with long hair. One was a doctor, one was a nurse.
Yes.
They were Juicy Scoopers.
Shout out to them. They were amazing.
They were like right away, like, Heather, I'm a doctor, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is not happening.
Yeah.
I was just all like, this is not happening. This is a dream. I dream really vividly. And in my dreams, when a dream is really bad, I will say, this is a dream. And some people in the dream will go, no, it's not, Heather. And I'll go, yes. And I'll go, this is a dream. Wake up. And I can wake myself up.
Oh, wow.
So I literally, like, a few times really bad things have happened.
Oh, you know,
in
the nightmare.
My life, I've been like, is this a dream? And I'm like hitting myself like, this is so bad. Because Annie reminded me that I have like stand-up stress dreams. And
oh, where you dream about doing stand-up on stage and it's the actor's nightmare?
Yes, it's like I haven't even glanced at my notes.
Uh-huh, you forget everything.
I don't remember something, you know, something weird like that.
Uh-huh.
And or sometimes it's tied into like a college nightmare where like I don't even know where the classroom is and I'm 2 weeks into the class.
Yep.
And I'm like, I have to go talk to the counselor to get my schedule so I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to need a tutor now because I've missed 3 weeks. Like, I have this.
I do that all the time. I have those all the time.
In college.
College or high school. It's
like,
oh, I've missed so many classes. Am I going to graduate? I'm like, I haven't been in college in like years.
And I have dreams when I'm stressing about college where I go, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a stand-up. I don't need this degree. I like literally fight with the people in the dream. And I've had
this piece of trash and paper.
And the things I've worried about happening on stage have never been fainting. It's been like getting my period and it like coming through my clothes or something, which is why I'll never wear white pants, even maybe in 5 years. But I will never wear white pants
on stage.
Unlike
Charlotte,
exactly. Uh-huh. Like Charlotte. And and just like that. And then also, Sarah and I talked about how, isn't it kind of interesting that there's times where you're like, holy shit, get me to a bathroom, right? I have never had that on stage.
Oh, yeah, neither have I.
Bobby Lee once in an interview told me he actually left the stage and was like, give me a minute, and left the stage to take a shit. But I'm like, isn't that interesting that like in all the hours I've been on stage, maybe something with your nerves like works with your, anyway. So, but I have said on this show that I've had a fainting fantasy.
Oh.
And I'm like, I can't believe I've never fainted. And I'm like, did I fucking put it out there?
Yeah.
And I remember somebody wrote me and said, stop with your fainting fantasy. I fainted. It's not fun. But I think every time I've seen someone faint, like in an old-fashioned movie, or when Lisa Vanderpump was on Dancing with the Stars, which some people wonder if she really fainted or not, her partner was there to catch her, and then she got to get off the show.
And there's a chaise lounge or something nearby.
Right.
You didn't have that.
And if I wasn't on stage, where there's nothing on stage, there's the tiny stool where my note was, and the mic stand.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no furniture, there's no human. If I had felt dizzy at that moment, around, I would have grabbed but there wasn't. And I just like timber, like went back on really hard on the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the people come around and I go into that little side room and they sit me down and now the EMTs are there. And my son and you and my sister-in-law, Karen, come in. And I'm just like, I'm still thinking, how am I going to remember all my jokes?
Oh, you thought the show was still happening.
Yeah.
You were like, the show, you were that Hollywood star that like, the show, they want me, they need me, the show. And I was like, Heather, you passed out on stage, there's no show. And then, what do you mean, the show, the fans?
And then the manager, I'm thinking about the guy I met at Nordstrom that's like, I'm so excited to see you. This other woman that came up to me that's like, my husband has no idea who you are. He produces movies in Hollywood, but I'm actually excited to see you. And I said to Drake, I go, you know, I get a lot of fans that are like, they think they're giving me a compliment, but they're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like he doesn't know who she is.
Like that lady who said I had a nice emphysemic laugh. Still haven't forgotten. Yeah. It's like, thanks. I don't know if that's a compliment, but thank you.
So I was thinking about them, you know, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. What? Like, you're just going to, he's like, no, we're sending them home. We already sent out an email to the 945. It's canceled.
Yep.
And I was horrified, but at the same time, like a little relieved because I'm like, I really don't think I could stand up there for an hour
and
do a show and the 50 meet and greets.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, it's not like you went out like middle. You went out 3 minutes into your set. It was literally like, hey, what's up? G-g-g. It's like, well, there was that. Like, it was shockingly crazy how fast it happened. It was, you know what I mean? It wasn't like you're like in the middle 30, 45 minutes in. It was just like, hi, everyone.
Were you there, boom. Were you there when the EMTs were like asking me all the questions? Like,
oh, yeah, I was there. Where are you? Can I give an impression?
Please
Here we go.
Please do it. Okay.
Heather, Ms. McDonald, what day is it? The weekend. Close. Here's my favorite. Heather.
Yeah.
Who is the president of the United States? I was like, don't ask her that. We don't know. I was like, no one in this
she
room.
She doesn't know.
No, but who knows who the... We're in Arizona. Don't ask that question.
What did I say? Because I remember that one was kind of hard for me.
It was really hard for you. I was like, I was in the back like... And you were like, I was.
What did I say?
You didn't even give an answer. I don't even think you gave an answer.
I thought I said, "Is it still Biden?"
Is it still Biden? Yeah.
Because I was like, it feels like.
I was like, don't say that too loud.
No, but I feel like the guy was like, I know, but no, but I was like in my head, like I do get mixed up, mm-hmm. like between 2020, 21, and 22.
Oh girl,
like,
we all do.
It all just like blends.
We all do. Yes.
And I'm kind of like, wait, it's still Biden, right?
Uh-huh,
like,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then they're like, okay. And then they're like, well, we really, you know, you had a concussion, this, you know. People thought I had a seizure.
Yeah. People did say there was a seizure. People did say you were hungover. People were saying, you know, oh, it's because you got vaccinated. I mean, the conspiracy theories. Like, you are the poster woman for QAnon right now. And I don't know if you wanted that or asked for it, but here you are.
I have heard that I've made the QAnon talk
you
stuff.
You are the QAnon comedy shaman. We're going to paint half your face blue, half your face red. We're going to put some bullhorns on you. And
I mean, okay. So then I, you know... I'm like, oh, God, Drake, and you don't get to see my act and my son and my, you know, they planned their whole night around this. And I'm just still like, I cannot believe this happened. So then they're like, do you want, you know, we suggest you come with us in the ambulance.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to do that.
Well, I'm married to Peter Tobias.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one thing I've learned is never take an ambulance ride. You'll never get that money back from the insurance. And unless you're seriously bleeding or you need them to do like code blue, do not, and you have no other way to get there, refuse the ambulance. The EMTs were pretty cute.
They were kind of hot. Yeah.
They were totally hot.
There was a couple of them that
were
magic.
And they
were
like, we really want to take you and everything. Yeah. And then like Drake is like, no, no. Peter Jr. is like, no, we will drive you. And I'm like, and Karen, my sister-in-law, who is in the medical field, I'm like, she's like, let me take you. I know the hospital I want to take you to and everything. So I'm like, okay. So we were able to walk out there with like Drake, like leaning on Drake. I see a couple Juicy Scoopers out there. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. They're like, we love you, Heather. We get in the car. And my sister-in-law is like, I'm taking you. We are going to St. Joseph's. It's Catholic and it has a neurological center. And let me tell you, this hospital was fabulous.
Good.
It was so nice. It was clean. It was updated. Lots of hot people working there, too. I met like four hot neurosurgeons that all were like looking at all of my stuff. Each one came in. Each one was cuter than the next.
Wow.
I know. I'm like, where is Annie? Where, like, who need, like, what single Arizonian girl? I'm looking at rings. I'm like, there's nothing on these guys' hands. The nurses were great. And then, and towards the end of my stay, this another hot guy comes in with a gun.
What?
And he's like, I'm security for the hospital. And you are all over the news. Uh-huh. So we have, you are now part of our security detail. I mean, if I wasn't wet before, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he's like, have you seen our Brett Michaels room?
What's the Brett Michaels room?
Brett Michaels, I guess, is when, I think there was something where, there were two things I think that happened to Brett Michaels. One was that like something hit him in the head.
Oh,
I think
wait.
Another one might have been like he did have an aneurysm or something. Anyway, he went there and he was so impressed with their care that he has donated some guitars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
to the hospital?
To the hospital.
That's great. I love a guitar room in a hospital.
Yeah. So I'm like, now what do you want? A Juicy Scoop poster? Like, what am I going to do?
The scoop room?
So he's like, so if anybody calls, we're going to say, you know, no patient, so they have to have a code. I'm like, okay, well, it's just my assistant, so I'll tell her. I'm like, I go, honestly, I'm not that kind of a celebrity. I'm like, there might be some, like, Phoenix moms that want to come and, like, bring me some food. I'm like, but, like,
a Jell-O mold?
Yeah, like, nobody is, like, no, nobody is, like, going to come and be like, arr! So... But anyway, when I first get to the hospital, they won't let Drake or Karen or anybody come with me because of COVID.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So they're like, we're going to run your tests. It's going to be about an hour. Then they're like, no, you're staying the night in ICU. That kind of scared me. So then I'm like, okay, Drake, he goes to sleep at his cousin's house. And I did the CAT scan. They gave me IV.
Did you do an MRI?
I think I did an MRI, EKG, heart stuff. Then they put me in the ICU, which, let me tell you, these nurses, they should do stand-up. My God, right outside of my door, just killing it, all of them, all night long, just everyone laughing, telling stories, and then every hour you have to get your blood pressure taken. Uh-huh. I haven't been in the hospital. The only times I've been in the hospital in my life besides I was born was I went home with a baby.
Oh.
So I'm like, when I leave, can someone give me a baby?
Just give me a new one.
I'm used to leaving a hospital with a baby. That was the last time I had an IV, like everything. So I'm like, oh my God. So, and when I got there for the night, they're like, we need to give you this quick sponge bath and we need to take off.
Did you get a sponge bath?
Yes. I'm going to take off your underwear and everything in case we have to immediately do a procedure. And I go, wait a minute. Like, in the middle of the night, if something happened, you're going to just, like, shave my head and give me, like, a brain surgery? Like, I'm like...
That's what I thought.
I thought
they were going to shave your head.
And he goes... And
sorry.
Then they're like, no, we won't do that, but just... It's just protocol.
Okay.
I was like, okay, but, like, do not, like, shave my head, throw me in a surgery without, like, me calling my husband or something, you know? Like, and they're like, okay. So, the night goes fine, and then they're like, we're going to keep you one more day, but in a normal room... And so Annie comes back.
Wait, so who gave you the sponge bath? A hot doctor or a nurse?
No, just all girl nurses.
Oh, boo. Okay. Sorry, Peter. Yeah.
I don't want the hot. No, I would have wanted all girls. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So now what I don't realize is I still have my lashes on and stuff. Uh-huh. Okay. And I did do an Instagram story in the ER because I just was like, 700 people for the first show was sold out. Second show was sold out.
Yeah.
I asked the guy at like 6:30, how is the 9:45 show? 400 is sold out. He's like, you're at 300.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, 700 people thought they were seeing me tonight. I just have to let them know what happened. And I want them to know, like, I can talk
I'm
okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't know how okay I am. Cause I'm thinking like, do I have some ticking time bomb inside me? Like, what caused this? You know, I don't know. So that's why I'm like, yes, do all the tests. And he, so that's what people picked up. So Charlie from TMZ calls me. The phone rings. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, hello? She's like, hi, Heather. It's Charlie from TMZ. We just saw her. You know, can you tell us what happened? So I basically just told her what happened. And I'm like, I'm in the hospital now, whatever. So then the next day, Peter's talking to Dr. Drew. And Dr. Drew says, I want her to get this one other test for her heart. And Annie comes and she's like, I'm like, bring like my makeup and stuff. I still have like my lashes on. Mm-hmm. And she's like, do you want a makeup wipe? And I take my makeup off. I take off my lashes. She's like, do you want another wipe? I'm like, no, like it's no, just give me my moisturizer. Okay. So,
oh no, I see where this is going.
So I go to the next room, not the ICU mirror. So now the door can shut and like it's like a room with like a shower and like a bathroom and all this. And so they're like, you know, when every time you go to the bathroom, we need to come with you. So I go to the bathroom and I turn.
And saw.
And saw. Maybe we should show the people real
do
quick.
Oh, do you want to do it?
Should we not?
I don't know. It's up to you.
I just saw yesterday the doctor was saying that you might do things you don't want to do.
Oh.
Yeah, that's probably – thank you, Annie, for all the right, voice of reason. Right. Yeah, I was like,
Justin,
don't do it.
It scared Justin and it scared Brandon.
It didn't scare me. It's just
–
it is alarming.
I had to show Justin the way I showed my son Brandon.
Yeah.
I was like, need to show you something.
Yeah.
So I – Peter wants me to.
I say prove it to the fans.
Okay. I look like Julia Fox with her eye makeup that Kanye made her get. Literally,
that
I was
Kanye
like,
put on her.
Yeah, it's basically if I just put the black.
It's Black Swan. Yeah.
Where am I? Where's Black Swan? Here I am.
There
That's
you are.
What it looks like. All black because first I'm like, did I fall on my face? He's like, no. When you have a lot of trauma to your head, then the blood vessels come. But I did not know that I look like that. And it was like that moment in the first Sex and City movie after Big blows her off on the wedding day. And
she
then
drops the flip phone?
No, she goes into the bathroom.
Oh.
And I remember I went to the premiere of that movie, and I was with Guy Branum, and the whole audience goes, but it was just her without makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, they might have added a little dark circles, but like that's the way I felt.
Shot.
I was like,
yeah.
And I said to the nurse, I go, what the fuck? You guys have been looking at this face for like a day? I was like, I had no idea. Holy shit.
There's no mirrors in the hospital.
No. Yeah. And look, when I did that Instagram thing, I not only did
you just had little ones right here.
I had like a little bit of,
yeah.
I have a photo from the Instagram.
Yeah, right there.
Well, that was from the thing, but I couldn't, you can see I'm starting to bruise up, mm-hmm. but it looks like a smoky eye.
I'm happy to.
And, oh wait, where?
I don't think the Instagram's in there.
Oh, okay. So anyway, let me see where I want to be here. This was all the news articles.
Look at that.
So Janine Tull Danielson, she put this together for me. It was all my articles from my fall. Now, some people were like, oh, really? But that filter worked when I did my Instagram story. Well, my Instagram story does have filters. And guess what? I fucking did a filter.
Yeah.
With the filter and the eyes already puffing.
Uh-huh.
Right before they turned purple, they kind of looked good.
Yeah.
It kind of looked good.
And was it the filter that we did on our picture where I looked like the cocoon person?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's a good filter. Who knew it would come in handy again?
So, anyway, the good news is, you guys, is that all the tests, they just said there's nothing that was like, that caused it. Like, I didn't have like some ticking time bomb. I didn't. You know, but they were very careful of, like, they put these things on my legs, to stimulate my legs so I wouldn't have blood clots. They checked everything over and over again. And now I'm just recovering from having a concussion. So I did have a fracture in my skull, like, right in the back of my head, which caused some bleeding. But then the second CAT scan.
External bleeding or internal?
No,
bleeding?
All internal. Ugh. But then the next CAT scan, the morning after, showed that it was already starting to heal itself.
Okay,
so,
good.
And then my heart thing was fine. And so the question is, why?
Well. I might have poisoned your Red Bull.
So somebody, of course, people said, I just can't believe. Okay. And all the friends writing me. Okay. Yeah. And one thing is I'm not supposed to be on my phone a lot looking at tiny screens of things. So Annie's like writing everyone back. And, you know, everybody's being so sweet and so great. Mm-hmm. But then there's people like Josh Flagg that just writes. So what happened?
Yeah.
All right. I fucking knocked my head. Now you want me to explain the whole thing mm-hmm. to you? Can you just read one of these articles? This is what happened. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. Like, so, I mean, hopefully everyone can listen to this and hear exactly what happened. Other people did think, did somebody slip something in your drink?
Really? That was real?
Yes. And I'm like, there's absolutely no way because I didn't get a drink from the staff.
No, you were with me the whole time.
I had I opened the Red Bull. It was just you and me.
Yes, it was just you and me.
And then I opened a bottle of water.
Yeah.
That's it.
There was nobody. Nobody was slipping yes. stuff. No.
And at that whole day, Drake, you know, doesn't drink. I mean, maybe he does, but not with me. He's 19. We didn't drink at lunch.
That's what's crazy.
I did throw up my lunch.
You did throw up that. I'm so glad I left the room before.
Oh
that.
My god, I threw up in the green room
and then
ice
bucket. I was
and then I threw up at the
hospital?
At the ER. Yeah,
yeah. That's just a sign of dehydration and a head trauma.
A lot of people say I'm the thirstiest bitch around. They could be true.
Yeah,
could be true. It could be. I was that thirsty that
I was kind of amazed. Like how much this blew up. I'm really glad. I'm very proud of my tweet that went viral.
What was your tweet? What did you say?
I gave a tweet that people were like, they were like, oh yeah, her. You know, comedian Justin Martindale said, you know, Heather McDonald's a champ. It was scary, but she's surrounded by family, and we're gonna come back to Arizona juicier than ever.
We are, and I'm like, I just couldn't believe that it was like the night, like that Drake was going to come.
Yeah.
I am really grateful though that like you were there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like in a city with like a local opener or no opener at all. I was really grateful to have my family there. Karen, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law Gunnar, and Garrett, my nephew, and then of course Drake.
Yeah.
And the next day when I was talking on the phone with Drake, and I'm so bummed because when we were at lunch, I made a reservation for Drake and I to golf. Well, really for him to golf, me to just tool around in the cart. At JW Marriott at Camelback, which is the most gorgeous hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a 1 o'clock tea time. And I remember being in the ICU and being like, do you think I can like bounce around in that cart? I was still thinking that.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to have brunch with my sorority sister, Christy Clark. That's her maiden name. But like, that's who I was supposed to have. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I better cancel that. So I'm like, Drake, they better return the money. I mean, just send him one of these articles. Like, we can't do it. Like, even though it's like, oh, you're within the 24 hours, you can't cancel. And he was like, Mom, are you glad it was me that was there and not Dad?
Oh, God. Is this Heather's choice?
He's like, because do you think Dad would have been like, you're fine, sleep it off, you don't need to go to the hospital?
Well, that's what he said. That's what Drake said.
What did Drake say?
Drake was just like, let's just go back to the hotel and get in the bed. And I was like, that's like what Natasha Richardson did.
All I was thinking.
Yeah, I was like, no, she has a concussion.
And that's why, like, I always would wear a helmet, even though
I'm
going down bunny slopes, all that stuff. And I was thinking of Natasha. No, that's why I wasn't going to go home and go to bed.
I think you're lucky I was there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I think I was lucky Karen was there.
Yeah.
My sister.
Karen was great.
She was like, no, she's going to the hospital. So. But on the ride to the hospital, I was sitting in the back and Drake was like, Mom, do you want to hold my hand?
And you said, get off me.
No, I was like, yes. Here are some of the karmic things that I think caused me to faint.
Oh, okay. Things you've put out, things you manifested for this to happen.
One is I had a fainting fantasy. I still have a hero fantasy that I'm fine to happen. That is finding someone from an Amber Alert, finding an abandoned baby.
Mm-hmm.
Those, one sort of happened at Disneyland, but not, that's not.
We'll let you decide which one happened.
That wasn't a real thing. That was just like a kid that ran away from his mom and he was like 4 and whatever. Okay. I had him for just a couple, like 10 minutes. I'm talking like a baby, like in a bush that someone left and then I get to like keep it for a while.
Okay.
That's a fantasy. also in Amber Alert, like when you see like the license and then I see the Honda go by.
Oh, I've turned off my Amber Alerts. They're so annoying. Okay.
So I still want those fantasies, but I have said I wanted a fantasy.
Okay.
I was not nice about Adele canceling her show.
Mm-hmm.
I said she was dick whipped. I said that I think it's more about this new boyfriend and her relationship, and that added to all of her other anxiety, and no man would cancel his thing for a woman.
Right.
You know? And so that wasn't nice. Coincidentally, Chelsea Handler had canceled her shows on Friday mm-hmm. for that night and that weekend.
Which
that
we were
Saturday.
Talking about in the green room before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know what caused her to go to the hospital. She's like, her thing is, I'll be back. I just handled it a month later, whatever, and I'm fine. And, you know, I think Joe Coy, flew out to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
Peter stayed at home. Anyway. Oh, meanwhile.
Yes, I love that man of mine.
Meanwhile, I will say I did text earlier in the day before this tragic thing. I texted Joe's sister because he's coming to Phoenix and Drake saw the billboard. Mm-hmm. And so Drake is going to go see his show with and hang out with Little Joe. So, I mean, I don't know. So then people are like, is this like a conspiracy between Heather and Chelsea to be like, why are people canceling their shows?
Yeah.
Peter wants to defend himself.
Okay. I'm scooting.
I'm going to have him scoot over.
Yes.
I know everyone's going to go, what's going through my mind? Okay, so I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Number one is I didn't know if you had COVID or not.
Okay.
So you hadn't been tested. So I didn't know, should I drive there to pick you up or should I fly? That was the first, that was my first thought.
Oh, because if I had COVID, you'd try to take me home in the car?
Yeah, I would have
and
to take
you. And you'd let me infect you?
Sure.
That's hot.
I don't care.
I was tested
I don't care
at the hospital,
about it.
I don't
the
have
second
it.
Thing yeah. is, I did talk to you and you said, hey, I just want to come home. And so I had a flight for you on JetSuiteX, which is like a semi-private plane, to come home. So that would so I can't like fly there and come back. So it would be a lot easier if I would pick you up. And so I was kind of in like a waiting situation the whole time. And so then Annie happened to be there, and the third thing is they wouldn't let anybody. You told me that they wouldn't let anybody in the hospital because of COVID. But somehow Annie was able
once
to get
they
into,
knew I was oh. once. Sorry, honestly, I think once they knew I was a celebrity. And, like, everything changes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's kind of terrible.
Right.
But.
Right.
They're really secure. Like, they made me give the password.
Yeah, I had to give a password, and so then she could come in. And. Oh.
What's the password? I'd like to know. Yes, I would.
It's a password I use for other things.
Okay, for taxes.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that, and then I'm just going to summarize that, and then. And then when you're leaving the hospital, you're kind of in a let's wait and see situation. So I thought the best thing was like, hey, if they were going to release you early, it's better that I pick you up at the airport and have everything ready on this side.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't do and
it's fine.
And we have a teenager.
I will say when
so back to you, Justin.
Thank you, Peter.
I will say when they picked me up at the airport, and normally Peter never parks the car and comes in like a real valet. And he did. And he brought our dog Raven, our son Brandon, and he brought me some roses.
Good. Were there paparazzi at the airport saying, she's returned?
No, unfortunately not.
The Tempe Temptress is back.
Unfortunately not.
They were all writing, wanting to know when you were going to be released to interview, but I kind of felt like, hey, let's keep it under wraps. And
well, I just wanted to. I wanted
dizzy,
to.
Dizzy, right?
Yeah, I'm feeling better now. I feel a little woozy. I'm not, you know, supposed to drive for a while. But I just wanted people to know that I was not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
No one slipped anything in my
there
drink.
There wasn't. Yes,
I think it could have been the booty drop. So we can blame Cardi B.
Yeah.
Because the doctor said when you were you laying down? You came up really quick. I'm like, well, I did this like booty drop dance that might have, and then I showed the doctors the video.
And he was like, there it is.
And I'm like, oh my God, like this is like, you know, when Wendy Williams passed out. But she was dressed up for Halloween.
She was dressed up like the Statue of Liberty.
And so she had a wig on and she had like a cushiony like hat thing. So, and when I watched her fall, she did fall like on her butt. She didn't, I like was like
you went
timber.
All the way back.
Yeah.
I do have a question though.
Yes.
How long until I can make this a GIF?
Today.
Uh-huh, that's my shit. I want to make it like we'll put some music to it. You know, like back and forth, like
my friend,
I wouldn't do that.
My friend Kate Casey from Reality Life with Kate Casey wrote me and she said your next comedy tour should be called Falling Up.
Oh.
Clever. I was thinking laugh, don't faint.
Yeah.
I think Falling Up is better. I don't know. Like, I mean, like I said, this is just a weird, fluky thing. I normally eat before.
Yeah.
Like.
No, we do. We had a salmon salad.
I normally do eat something like within the hour before I go on stage. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, but so that is a little weird. I'm definitely someone that like needs to eat every few hours. So I think that was it. I do think the climate change, the water, and I think the
I think it was
drop.
Nerves.
I might be Drake's fault.
Yeah.
He even said that. He goes, do you think it? And I'm like, yeah, I was kind of like
yeah.
a little in my head nervous about you. But I'm talking to my agent. We're going to figure out when we're coming back. Okay. Justin and I mean, I love that club. They were so great.
They really, shout out to the Tempe Improv. They were just on it, like the girl who was helping us, Pony, she was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Chad, he was amazing.
Yeah,
the whole staff just really stepped it up and like really took care of a really bizarre situation.
The social media guy,
I forget his name. What was it?
Chris.
Was it?
I don't
Che?
Know.
The peacoat guy. Remember? Okay.
Yeah, he was,
he was great.
Yeah, and even when we were at lunch at this place across from Nordstrom, I said to Drake, I said, I think this might be one of the best days I've ever had. Be just spending the time with him and having such a fun weekend. And like, I was like, I'm so excited for the shows tonight.
Yeah.
So for this to happen, I just, you know, my first thought was just, I hate to inconvenience anyone. That's why I'm like, I never cancel shows. Another karmic thing that caused, I never cancel shows. I never, you know, don't put out a podcast. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sorry this one is a little bit late, but like, I just wanted you guys, I didn't want to just put out a show and not address it.
Yeah.
And so I wrote Justin, I'm like, can you come early in the morning? Because we're going to have to put it out a little bit later, but I want to get your... They did offer me OxyContin in the hospital.
Work. Go through,
no,
dope
I said
sick.
No. Oh, I said, man. No. I said,
that's
absolutely
good. Probably,
not.
Yeah, don't
I go,
do
I'm
it.
Not ready to be addicted. Just a Tylenol, please.
Calm down, Michael Keaton. I will say, I think that this kind of did kind of bring the Juicy Scoop family together because, you know, I had a lot of strangers reaching out to me and being like, oh, my God, keep us updated. You know, how is she? What's going on? And I was hoping that you were going to ask me to come on to be like, hey, let's just kind of clear the air and like let everyone know
so
what was going on.
You secreted it, and here you are.
And here I am. Like Chris Frangiola reached out.
Like my fainting fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
I don't want that. But Chris Frangiola reached out. Sarah Colonna reached out. You know, so it was kind of nice to see like how, you know, you were like Dr. Drew reached out. Like there was Lala called me yesterday to make sure you were okay and what was going on. She was worried. So...
I just wanted
tabs
people,
on who gives a shit.
I also wanted people to know, like, cognitively and everything, every neuro test they gave me, which was the same thing over and over. Where are you? What year is it? Who's the president? Squeeze my hand. Lift your leg. Look at your eye. I passed all those from the moment I entered the hospital to, like, the whole time. So I'm so, so grateful for that. And
we also need a Men of Tempe neuro... science calendar ASAP. So if you guys could get on that, find some more of your buddies and get some months together.
God, let me tell you, that hospital is nice. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Justin, for coming.
You got it.
I now have a great interview, a real juicy interview with Alexia from the Real Housewives of Miami, who has lived a telenovela life, and you don't have to know about the show or anything to be intrigued by her crazy life story, from being married to a drug cartel person to another guy who then turned out to be bisexual, and she met with his lover after he died. Very, very juicy, and I asked all the questions that nobody else has asked yet, so let's get into that. So, I am here with Alexia from The Real Housewives of Miami. We are watching it. I am thoroughly enjoying it. How has it been going? It was how many years between the last season and then the return, the reboot, really, of the show for you, Alexia?
So it's been 8 years. We took an 8-year hiatus, and it just seems like it happened so quickly. I was hoping it would happen quicker because I didn't want to be like 8 years later. You know what I mean? I just wanted it to be 2 or 3 years would have been perfect. But 8 years later, here we are with our season 4.
You know, as fans and someone who follows the Bravo franchises and the Housewives, I feel like there was talk of Miami all the time. When is it coming back? It is coming back. It's not coming back. So was that for you too? Would you constantly hear from producers throughout the years?
Yeah, I mean, it was always like a tease, kind of. It's like I felt like they never told us we weren't coming back. It's kind of like it just like ended that way. And, you know, we kept in touch with the producers and all that. There was always like talk about it. And like I said, you know, during COVID, I guess Miami again became a very popular city. Miami's always been very unique and a very popular city. But and our fans, honestly, we have to be very thankful to our fans that were always so vocal about bringing the show back and really like supporting us and loving us. And I think that finally, you know, they said, you know what, we need to listen to the fans and bring these ladies back. And then, you know, that's what happened. And everything else was really quick after that. You know, after we got that phone call, everything happened really quickly.
So how did you feel when they said, okay, the show's coming back, but it's not going to be on traditional Bravo. We're going to do it on Peacock. Did it matter to you? Did you think that you'd lose viewers, gain viewers? What was your thought on that?
No, you know what? As long as we were back, you know, and it was like the comeback, I was happy with either, you know, Bravo. Obviously, I would love to have it on Bravo as well, because, you know, I feel like we belong there. We started there. You know, all the other franchises are on Bravo. So I would love to be on Bravo as well. But I understand that the world is changing and everything is streaming now. So I feel like it's also important that we're on a streaming platform. And I love that it's Peacock and that we're like driving all this traffic, you know, to Peacock because of our show.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I think it's all going to work out in your favor, because I was watching Watch What Happens Live last night and Andy said, Ultimate Girls Trip will now be on following New Jersey on Bravo. So I wouldn't be surprised if very shortly too, they take your show and feature it on Bravo as well. That's what I predict.
Yes. Same.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for that too. Mm-hmm.
So you really brought the juicy scoop, with your life. And what a life you're having. We see you on the show and you are engaged to your third husband-to-be. You guys have since gotten married. But we talk about your second husband, Herman, who we saw on the first 4 seasons of Miami back 8-10 years ago. And so tell me a little bit about that, because you discover he has passed away and you discovered that he was bisexual. He had a boyfriend who you are then in contact with. So, there were hints of this in previous seasons where Joanna Krupa, who was on the show with you, had mentioned it or talked about it, and it was shut down as a rumor. Take us back to that time. Did you at that time have any feelings as his wife that this might be true, or what were your thoughts?
No, I mean, the truth is that in season 3, well, first of all, I came out of Joanna's mouth and she didn't even know Herman or knew anything. So it's not like I was believing it. And it wasn't really like that how it happened, right? But, you know, forget about the show and about Joanna. Like in my personal life, I did have a confrontation with him years before, maybe like 10 years into our marriage, where there was like a suspect that I thought there was something weird going on. And I confronted him. I actually confronted both of them. And they were just friends, and they both had the opportunity to say something. And they were, you know, obviously Herman was married to me and he was married to his wife as well. And he's like, oh no, like if I wanted, you know, to do that or to be that, I would have totally come out of the closet a long time ago. Like that's not what I like. And he even actually like, you know, joked about it. And he said, you know, I wish I did. Right. And I said, yeah, I wish so too, because I want to be a gay man in my next life, you know, and I'm like all for that. So I'm like, you know what? That makes both of us. And the other guy said, you know what? You know, I just see him like as the father figure. And obviously it wasn't the person that he ended up having a relationship with. This is just truly a friendship. But it was, they were like such good friends that I was kind of like getting jealous. And I even like confronted them, like I'm telling you. But that was the only time, right, in our marriage throughout the years where I suspected anything, because he never showed me any other signs. And he was a very jealous man, and he never showed any signs. And I'm sure there's a lot of ladies out there that can relate to my story. So I'm not the only person in America or in the world that this has happened to. Right. So, but what happens is when the person is no longer here, you know, and certain amount of years have gone by, people feel more freely to talk about these things. And people are like, oh, I didn't want to tell you before because, you know, I didn't want to hurt you. You've gone through so much. I wanted to protect you. And I'm like, protect me from that. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, this is like, I wish I would have known just to make him feel better about himself, because I would have never judged him for that. And, you know, I would have never thought of him differently, you know, just because he had that, you know, I would have never seen that as a weakness or as a something negative.
Yeah.
On the contrary, you know what I mean? So that's what I was so hurt by, because he never had that conversation with me. So, you know, years later, I obviously, after he passes away, I find all these things out. And at that moment, I wanted to reach out. At that moment, I wanted to reach out to the individual. And everybody's like, oh no, don't do that. Like, you know, you're still hurting and you're not emotionally prepared for that. So, you know, I listen to people and I say, you know what, you might be right, because my emotions right now are very mixed. And, you know, I will have the conversation when the right time comes about. And sure enough, you know, 4 or 5 years later, you know, I said, you know what, this is a conversation. I've moved on in my life. I'm almost getting married and it's a new chapter in my life. And there's still some things that I think about, you know, that I would love to have a conversation, you know, with this man that spent the last year of his life with him, that can clarify for me and can answer these questions. And that's what it was. And so it was a great talk.
We kind of see a photo of the guy. And then you were supposed to meet him on camera. He did not come on camera, but then you had a long conversation off camera with him on the phone. And what did you, that you can share with us, gather about their relationship
That it was a real relationship. Well, not for those years. I mean, it was for a year or whatever. Well, the time we were separated, by the way, when this happened. So it's not like he was cheating on me. Yes, we were separated, you know, in May, around that time of 2015, we were good friends and we worked together and the whole thing, but we had separate lives as far as that went. You know what I mean? He was going out, you know, we never talked about divorce and we never talked about anything like that. But, you know, it was kind of like there was an understanding that we were separated and that he was having fun and going out and dating and doing whatnot. And so was I. And we were okay with that. And like I said, when he passed away a year after, which was very unexpected.
How did he pass again?
He had a massive heart attack.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Okay. He had a heart attack, yes. So I never imagined that I would find out that he was in a relationship, you know, with a man. So that, you know, became public knowledge, you know, a couple of days after he passed away. So it's not only was I dealing with Herman's death, but it was, you know, finding out a lot of things that are hurtful, even though we were separated, you know what I mean? Hurtful because he never got to tell me, you know, not because what it was. And like I said, you know, I don't think if it would have been a woman that I would have found about, like I would have had the conversation with her. But for me, it was important for me to know that he was happy and that he had gone to do what maybe he had wanted to do all his life. I mean, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that, you know, that die without ever coming out of the closet and that they sacrifice other lives, you know, for their family. And what for? like, it's not worth it. You know, life is too short and fragile, and you should be what you want to be and live your life how you want to live it, as long as you're not harming anyone. And in this case, he wasn't harming anyone.
I have a couple questions. Like, okay, so we know you came from Cuba, right? You were born in Cuba?
I was born and raised here. My parents are Cuban. I always say I'm Cuban American, right? Oh, but I was raised in a very Cuban way because my grandmother raised us and she was very Cuban. She never learned English in this country. And she basically gave up all her life, you know, to raise us, because my mom was a doctor and my mom was born in Cuba and raised in Cuba. And, you know, she worked many, many hours. So my Cuban grandmother raised us. And we were always brought up very like traditional Cuban, with like, you know, all the traditions and the food and the very, you know, Latin, you know, environment. But I'm Cuban American. I was born in this country, but of Cuban descent.
And once you became, you know, an adult, how soon after did you meet your first husband, in which he was featured in the Netflix documentary, Cocaine and Cowboys?
Right.
What's the story behind that?
So I met him. I was 23 years old when I met him, 22, 23. And my parents, my father had passed away and my mom had moved back to Spain. So I was like pretty much here, you know, just sorry. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It'll be fixed. Yeah.
So we met, I was like 23 years old when I met him. Yeah. And I had lost my father.
What were you doing? You're so beautiful. Did you ever model, or like, what was your job at 23?
Oh, thank you. So I always wanted to be an attorney. And then I decided when I got together with the dad and, you know, we're going to get married and have a traditional wedding and the whole thing. And then the shit hit the fan. I was like, okay. And a few months later I got pregnant. It's like, it's a big story. You'll read it in my book, because I'm actually writing a book, because, you know, like the show, you know, this is, these reality shows only capture really what is going on in your life at the moment. So, you know, the times that I've done season 1, 2, 3, and now 4, those 3 months that we're filming, you've captured what was going on in my life at that time. But remember, that's 3 months. The whole year has 12 months. So it's a lot of things, obviously, that the show, you know, doesn't capture everything. So I'm writing a book, and, you know, and who knows, like, you, it might be like on Netflix, right? my whole story, my whole life. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to say is that I was very young. I was naive as well. You know, I grew up very sheltered, very protected. My father was a doctor and my mother was a doctor, and they were very strict. So with my father passing away and my mom moving to Spain, I was like 22, 23 years old. I had finished my studies. I have a master's in special ed and I studied education because I wanted to like stay home with my kids and have the same schedule that they had. And so I decided to like not be an attorney, because I knew that that would really require a lot of hours and a lot of more hard work. And to me, it was better for me to be at home with my family. So I kind of like gave that up, you know, as when I found out I was having a baby, I was accepted into law school. And I said, you know what, I'm going to pick a different career where I can spend more time with my kids. So, and that's it. I fell head over heels. I was 23 years old with him, not knowing what that world was about. Or having anything to do with it, because I grew up here in a parochial school. Like my parents were doctors. I lived in a good neighborhood. I moved to Spain and then I came back and I fell in love with this guy, which was, you know, which by the way, you know, on paper, he might sound like a thug or whatever, but like in reality, he's like a really good guy.
Right. Well, that's what I always wonder. Like whenever I kind of love, I'll be watching your movie, because one of the genres of movie I love are cocaine movies, like where cocaine is almost like another character. And there's so many movies about this world out of Miami. And as the woman that falls in love with this guy, they are so charming. They present themselves, you know, as just businessmen. And you know, do you, as the young girl, I assume you didn't know that's what he did, but when do you realize that it's some other
business? When they arrested him, that's when I found out. So like literally, even like the U.S. Marshals and stuff, like I remember them telling me like in the beginning, like, first of all, they told me like, how did like a young, beautiful girl coming like from your family fall in love with a guy like this? That was the initial, right? That was the initial conversation. So 6 months later, a year later, they're like, oh, we understand how you fell in love with him. Cause he was like really a good guy and like a beautiful heart, you know, with a, just a bad head on his shoulders. And obviously it's, if you watch Netflix, it's, it was all family related, you know, it was very easy to like, you know, start doing that. It just, they made it very easy for him. So it was all he knew. That's like what he grew up with. So it's kind of like, you can't even blame him, you know, and he was a young guy also when he got into all that. But I was just kind of like the victim, like guilty by association, because I didn't know that world. I didn't know that world existed. Like we moved to Madrid, Spain in the late 80s because my mom didn't like what was going on in Miami. And, you know, she always had a love for Spain and Europe. So I never really imagined that. I had only seen that in Miami Vice and in the movies as well. So like, I was like, okay. And then I remember when I met him, that he had like long hair and he had like a Porsche and he was like so handsome. And I would ask him, like, I felt like he was 25 years old. I was 23. Like I had a good, like a BMW convertible and a Rolex and all this. Cause my parents were doctors and they gave me all this. And I was like a good girl and got good grades. But so for him, he was 25 and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, your Porsche, like, oh my, your parents got it for you. Like I thought all his money came from his parents, like mine did. Right.
Right.
So that was like this disconnect. So I feel like, you know, he told me that he never really told me who he was or like his connection into, with this world because he thought he was going to lose me. And he was like, so in love with me. And like, you know, and I said, well, gee, thanks. You know what I mean? Like, I could have been like, you know, I didn't even know. Like, honestly, when he got arrested the first time, I was like, what is this? Like, I didn't even know like what to do, what to say. It was like really like after my father's death, like the first like other tragedy that I went through because it's really bad. It's like it stays like in your head forever.
So how long were you guys together and how old were your boys, Peter and Frankie, when did you? When he actually went to go do time, and how much time did he do? Did you then divorce him before that? Did you get divorced while he was behind bars? Like, what's the, how long had you been together?
Right. So he went in, he had to turn himself in when Peter was 3 months old.
Oh.
That was horrible. Like, you still remember him crying, just like the whole family was like a funeral. So, Peter was 3 months old. So he did 4.5 years, almost 5 years. And, you know, he was sentenced originally to 25 years, but he did 4.5 years. And then he came out, we divorced while he was in jail. Just because my mom and my father wasn't alive at this time. You know, they thought that it was the right decision, even though he was still, and you know, involved in my life and I would go see him and the whole thing. But like legally, you know, we thought it was like the best thing to do. And so we did. And then when he came out, he came back home and I was still with him. I mean, I would go visit him in prison and I was like, you know, that wife, and I was working as a school teacher and my whole life was like a lie. I would lie to all my teachers because I was so embarrassed. And these are things that I can talk about now.
Yeah.
But 25 years ago, I couldn't. I was ashamed. I lived like in a lie. I would lie to my neighbors. I lived in Pembroke Pines at Grand Palms Country Club and they would wonder where he was. I was like, oh, he's always traveling. I would take my son to the baseball games and they're like, you know, where's like the dad? So I like literally lived in a lie for 5 years. And I think that that makes it even more difficult because that's what I did. You know, it was just like Peter and I, and like, just like in our little world. And me working as a teacher, and I lived, you know, ashamed of my circumstances.
So you remained in love with him. He gets out. And even though you're divorced, you get back with him. And is And then you get pregnant with Frankie?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now I have two. Yeah.
Okay. And so then how long do you stay together with him before you break up for the final time?
So then, you know, we try it again. Obviously, you know, this person that you have like admiration for and love all that, you know, when they go in there, they come out like broken. And again, everything is, you know, once they come back home, no matter how much you try, things aren't the same. And so we had a lot of challenges and obstacles, but we got through all of them. And Frankie must have been about 2.5, 3 years old when we decided to like separate again. Yeah.
And so then, when you broke up, how and when did you then meet Herman and marry him?
So Herman and I met the last day of school. Like we were actually celebrating the teachers that it was the last day of school and we're like all like drinking and having like, fun.
Oh, for your children or for your job?
Teaching. No, for my job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So a few months, so after like maybe it was quick. It was like right after we got separated, like formally that he wasn't there anymore, that I started going out with my friends. You know, it's typical. All your friends try to like make you forget about the guy. And, you know, and move forward and meet somebody else. The lighting is really bad.
I don't know. You look pretty to me and your house really? Looks
oh, no,
nice.
I just feel like, oh, okay. I just looked kind of like dirty, but anyways.
No, no, it looks good.
Okay. So, and then, so we met, like I said, I was with my teacher friends celebrating the last day of school and we met and he was talking to all my friends. I didn't even think he had liked me. And after that, we just like started dating and then we got married 3 years later. Like since he met me, he wanted to get married. He was always like, oh, let's get, like, I want to marry you. Like, let's get married. And I would always say no, no, no. And then like 3 years later, we got married.
And what was your relationship? You know, you were, so you're married for quite a long time to him and you were married, still married when he unfortunately passed,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
So
yes.
How many years were you guys married before he died?
So we started dating in 2001 and then we got married in 2004, 3 years later. And he passed away in 2016. So we were together from 2001 to 2000, like 15 years together. Wow. And married 12. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it was a long time.
Mm-hmm. And we saw that you, you know, had a great life and that you, you know, you guys worked together on this fabulous luxury Miami magazine. You know, and the fact that you now know that he was bisexual, like what was your romantic life like all those years? Was it great in the beginning and died off like most heterosexual marriages?
Or was it always good? It was always good and consistent. And I really had no doubts like about that. But then again, like I've talked to my mother about that afterwards and my mother, like being a psychiatrist and being a woman of wisdom and experience with 5 husbands and whatnot, you know, she told me that like she shared with me, she's like, you know, it's like bisexual lovers are like really good lovers. So it's like, you know, they get it for whatever reason. And so I guess that maybe that's why. But and again, you know, a lot of bisexual people, like you can be attracted to a man and to a woman, you know what I mean? And it's that, it's kind of like sex has like no gender and no age. And, you know, I really do believe that he loved me and was attracted to me and to the gentleman as well. Like that's fine. Like, that's okay. I mean, people aren't going to admit that, but
well,
you know, I believe that. I feel like you can be that person. And I know because my mom had shared stories about me, about patients of hers who would go see her that had this conflict where they were in a relationship with a woman and married to a woman and had kids and they were in love with their wife and had sex with their wife. But then on their travels or whatnot, they had met a gentleman and, you know, they still weren't sexual, but they had like this physical attraction and it was like about to happen, but they had all this guilt. And my mom would always encourage them to do it. You know what I mean? You know, you got to do it and try it before you know whether you really like it, you know, what it is. But what I'm trying to say is like, there's no like, if you really like the person, you can like a man and a woman. But that's like bisexuality. Like you can fall in love and have love for both of them.
I remember like one of my most favorite episodes of Oprah, which is probably at least 15, if not more years ago. It was about how she had these men and they happened to be black because in the black community, being gay was less accepted at that time. And mm-hmm. they called living on the down low. And they had girlfriends and they had wives and they also liked having sex with men, which they kept on the down low. And
right.
even one guy goes, she's like, why not be gay? And he's like, because I don't see at that time, he's like, I don't identify as what I see as a gay man out in the news. I don't want to go to a parade. I don't want to live my life with a man. I like living my life with a woman. I like having a family. I like having this heterosexual life. I like having sex with my wife. But I also like having it,
that.
Like, yes.
Because once you try that, I've heard that that's people like it. Like,
once you go back, to spin it to me. Once you try dick, you don't go back, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
But like,
yeah,
I mean, I think it's the kind of thing that, like, you know, and, but I mean, to some women, you know, it's the most devastating thing and the, and a much greater deception than to find out that he was cheating. But in my, and I used to think that, but as I get older, I'm like, God, you know, it's, if that is your case, it, you could almost explain everything then that might not have been perfect in your marriage as, well, I didn't know that he wasn't, you know, being completely honest in his life. I didn't know that he had to sneak around. I, you know, so I think it'd be somewhat
right,
almost freeing in a way, like for you a little bit to be like, gosh, you know, when he was, you know, not that he would, but like if he snapped at me for no reason, if he was, you know, he was probably struggling with something else and it really wasn't me.
No, but that's why I'm saying like that. That's why I really wanted to know that. I really wanted to know because he was such a great man,
yeah,
a wonderful person, that he got to do that. That he got to do something that made him happy, that he like had the balls to do it. Because why not? Like, I don't see it as like that he hurt me. By the way, I'd rather a man cheat on me with another man than with another woman. I would not be having this conversation with a woman. But with a man, I'm like, he had something to give him that, you know, be,
that you couldn't give him. That you could not
give him. Right. So you know what? Yeah, like I wasn't going to strap it on. So you know what? Let him do it. But anyways, so because no, because you hear that kind of stuff too. Like people thought I was like in this open marriage, where like I would do all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, no, because if I did, I would own it. Like, as you can see how I am, and I would be proud of it. And I'm at a, you know, stage in my life that I'm don't apologize for being me or for thinking the way I do or for having my opinions. Whereas I was very ashamed before as a young girl because I didn't know better. And I was brought up in, you know, in that kind of like environment. I'm not the woman today. So I would definitely be talking about it, but that's not the case. You know, the case is that I wasn't aware of it. And again, I'm happy that it was a man and not a woman. And I'm even happier for him because it was what he wanted. It's not about me. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's about him. It's something that he wanted and he got to do it. And I'm very happy for him. I wish he would just still be around so we can be talking about it. But you see, that would have never happened because it's like those days that you're saying that where it was not okay. Mm-hmm. To do that. And he, you know, and that was one of the things that I wanted to know. Like, was he ever going to tell me? And his lover said, no, he would have never told you because he respected you so much. And I'm like, but that's not just, you know, what's disrespectful? This, like, not telling me. He's like, well, he didn't see it that way. He thought that was like, you know, he thought you were like such an extraordinary woman and he loved you so much and he cared about what you thought about him. And I was like, but I'm, and he knew that you were so okay with that. Just, he couldn't tell you.
You were a stepmother to his children, correct?
Yes.
And are you in touch with them? That's always kind of a difficult
situation. No, I'm not. I'm not, because you know what? Because I was a good stepmom to them and I was good to them while their father was alive. And the moment that their father died, they literally told me, fuck you, in my face. They didn't even wait till the dad was buried. Okay. So that is why I'm not in a good relationship with them. Then, while they were in the beginning that they thought that I was like their surviving spouse because we were still legally married, they were treating me nice. When they found out that I had a prenuptial agreement with their father and, you know, like the different, you know, how would you say that?
Assets were going to be already taken care
right.
of.
Depending on the conditions, yes. Right? The conditions mm-hmm. is what I was looking for. I've talked so much today. This is like my 10th time. I've been doing this all day. But
you're doing great.
Thank you. But the conditions that were in the prenup, they go, oh, really? Well, fuck you again. And they showed me their true colors. And then you find out, I feel like they were only being nice to me in front of their father, just because it was important for the father and I was the father's wife. But I found out that they didn't like me, that they hated me, that they were crying the day we got married out of jealousy because he loved my children. I found out so many like upsetting, hurtful, painful things that I could never forgive them. You know, they did so many ugly things to me that their father, I'm sure, was like not resting because, you know, at the end of the day, Herman only had love for me and me for Herman. And they've made it easier for me to speak as well because they were the ones that gave me all this information, but in a bad way, you know, in a hurtful, mean way. Like they wanted to like just like destroy me, you know, like hurt me and just say they went beyond what they had to say. You know how like sometimes you kind of like tell your children, somebody you love, you have more tact and careful about the delivery about what you're going to say. Well, they didn't. They took it to a different level. So, and I feel like they always kind of knew that I, after everything I found out, you know, on me being on this kind of a show or having the platform that I do, that I would say my story. Because for many years, I think even they themselves believed that, you know, I was like their father's beard or that I was like a gold digger and that I was just with their father, you know, for that. And the truth is that they know as well as I do that that wasn't the case. You know, there's no woman that does this, at least not my kind of woman or myself, if you don't love the person. And that's a big price to pay. Like they've asked me that, well, would you have stayed in the relationship if we would have told you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm cool. And I would have supported him. And I would have even like set him up with guys and everything because I'm cool that way. But I was not going to give up my life and my, you know, and my happiness, you know, and me and, you know, for, and staying in a relationship for, with, for money or for nothing, you know. First of all, I didn't even have enough money. But second of all, like, it's something it wasn't even like entertained. Like it was never. So just the fact that like, I started finding out all these things that really hurt me and bothered me. It was like, you know, I'll have the chance to say my story, you know, and obviously you didn't see the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, what's really interesting is that you are now my fourth friend that I've talked to. That is a second or third wife to someone who has passed. And unfortunately, you guys are all in the same boat with the stepchildren. And you know, two of the girls are wealthy and famous. One is not. The same thing happened. They raised these kids. They thought they were a happy blended step family. Their husband dies. And it's like immediate and weird about the money and all this. And you're a gold digger. It's like, okay, I'm the third wife, but I was with this person for 18 years. I met you when you were three, mm-hmm. my one friend.
Yeah.
Devastating. My one friend, you know, was with this guy for so long and raised the kids and never had kids on her own. And it was a sudden death, like in your situation. And just, it's like it's weird how honestly often
it's weird
it happens.
And,
nobody thinks about the stepmom in that situation and how devastating it is for this woman that met these kids as children. And then these children don't want to be in their life anymore because of, you know, a money situation or how they all of a sudden see it when you had every holiday with them and you did all these things. So, I mean, it's one of those things I'm kind of happy to expose because I feel like everyone always thinks the stepmother's the evil stepmother. You know, everyone always thinks they're like, you know, a Cinderella situation. And it's like,
yeah.
It's
and
not
they forget
like
that you're the one that's with their husband.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're
the dad. The one and, yeah. Loved the dad and took care. Yeah. The whole thing. I know you have to go soon, but you know, it's so interesting to watch your family dynamic and that conversation with your now husband, at the time fiance, with your son Peter, and discussing the care of your son Frankie, who you know suffered this horrible accident. But my God, you're so strong, and it's so wonderful to see your relationship with him, and to see you struggle with how to care for him after this brain injury, and it is something that we have never ever seen in the franchise, and I think people really love seeing it. I know you have to go, so I'm just going to wrap it up, but all the Juicy Scoopers really respect you and are, you know, supporting you and feel for you in how you've had to, you know, have this huge change in your life with after Frankie's brain injury accident. And the conversation that happened was the most real scene I've ever seen in the Housewife franchise between your fiance, your older son, and your son, Frankie. And it was so amazing. It was so loving to see that Frankie like knew that you guys were talking about him and struggling in how best to care for him. And it was so intense. Has anything changed in what you guys have been doing since then and giving him the best care and also protecting your own self-care?
Right. So no, I mean, watching it as a family, you know, thank God it was many months after and we're all in a good place. And we moved on from that and gotten stronger as a family and as like brother and, you know, mother, it just like the whole dynamics. So thank God for that. And thank God that we watched it as a family and it was so hurtful and painful to watch because it's like, you see your family in like a crisis and like breaking. And it just made us like act upon it. I mean, we were already acting upon it after it actually did happen, you know, when that happened. But this is months after we're seeing it again on TV and we're crying and we're like, you know, in pain because we're watching this, but we're in a better place and in a good place. So that's what made it better and easier to watch. I don't know if you get me, like, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that actually, it kind of helped rewatching this intense therapy session actually probably helped you.
Right, because we actually lived it. So as soon as we lived it, yes, we hug it out as a family and the whole thing. But, you know, we continued, you know, to act on it and to like, you know, and work on our family and obviously, you know, to get more help for Frankie. And it's not get more help for Frankie because Frankie has everything like he needs, you know. Now he has a shadow, which fortunately I got for him again. It was very difficult because I'm very overprotective. You know, I was interviewing people. I never thought, you know, they were good enough for him and if I can trust them. And, you know, I need to be at peace. So being with Frankie the whole time, that's what brings me peace because I know he's with me and I got him and nothing's going to happen. But it's hard to like give him to someone that doesn't really know him. And I'm like, well, what if he can't say something or express himself and maybe he orders the wrong food? But like Todd says, you know what? You got to let him order the wrong food. Next time he'll be like, oh, okay, no, I don't want that. Right. So it's like, you know, but it's hard when you're the mom, you know, when you're the brother and, you know, when we're just like, you know, trying always obviously to do like the best that we can. And that's why he's done so amazing because we've given him so much love and care and everything. But, you know, I think that we just kind of like become comfortable and, you know, the outside world might say, oh, you know what? Well, there's this you can do. There's that you can do. You know, Todd's intentions were always good intentions. And, you know, he just wants to make the family, you know, and everybody happy and perfect, you know, which is like how we are. You know what I mean? It's like we don't give up. We keep on going. We, you know, we find solutions. And, you know, it's really sad that we had to have that uncomfortable conversation. But we got good results from it. And, you know, that's the important thing. We're in a good place. Like I said, now I have a shadow for Frankie. I finally found, like I say, God put him, like God knew that I was like crying and wanting this so bad that he brought me this, you know, person into my life that actually does this. So he spends 4 hours with him 5 days a week or even six sometimes. And he's like going like this to me. You like it, right? Isn't it great? Yeah. I finally found that it's like a shadow. It's a buddy. He's like 28
years old.
Yeah,
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had one like in school, all his high school years. I did this for him where it was also first to start off as a female and then her husband ended up doing it. They're both educators, you know, where they shadow him and right. It's been great. But then, like I said, you know, after that, when I met Todd in my life, it was a lot of turmoil in my life. You know, Todd's always had like a lot of peace. And he's probably about to walk in here in a moment. His life was always so calm and so like chill and so like, I don't want to say perfect, but normal. Let's call it normal because there's no perfection.
Yeah.
And then he meets me with all this. So it's not like I came with like baggage. I came with like the whole like Samsonite store. He's like, whoa, what is this, right? But again, we were able to go through all this because we have so much love for each other and we're so in love. And at the end, love wins. And that's why we eloped and we got married, just him and I. And that's it. We're like, you know what? Now it's about you and I. Like, we need this moment, just you and I.
Well, I love how much you've shared. I love the show. I love the backdrop of Miami. I think the cast is really great and interesting. I look forward to, I don't know how many... How many episodes are left? And then you guys, have you done the reunion yet?
We did. We filmed the reunion already.
Oh, okay. So so we just have a few episodes left, right?
Yeah, I feel like there's like, I feel like there's 12 episodes. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah. Great. Well, good. Yeah. I mean, everyone's like really enjoying it and, you know, being so honest with your life and, you know, I'm rooting for you. I'm excited about your book. I'm going to keep watching.
Thank you.
And I mean, it's fun. I've met Marisol before. I love your friendship. I've met Lisa and I, you know, you have a good friendship with her and I like, you know, I like the other girls on it. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I don't want you to give anything away or anything, but yeah, I've been telling everybody to watch it and I will be continuing to watch it. And
thank you. Thank you for your love and journey. Support. And yeah. I know we're not going to disappoint you. I know you're really going to enjoy it and look forward to another season.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much and take care. Love to the fam.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Again, thank you, everybody. Justin and I will be back in Tempe. Justin, also tell what's your next gigs. Where can they see you? Do you have anything juicy coming up?
You can see me pass out on stage.
Yes.
No, I will be in town. I will be in LA for the majority of February. I'll be in Texas, I believe, March 25th and 26th. I'll be in San Antonio and Sugar Land, Texas with Jim Jefferies.
But March 27th, you said you are going to come with me.
I will be, yeah.
Chris Frangiola. Yep. I believe Sarah Colonna will be there. I'll confirm that because she's going to be on Thursday's show. For a very super duper, like the Super Bowl of Juicy Scoop, live Juicy Scoop on Sunday, March 27th at the Brea Improv in California. And also stand up will be on the Friday, the 25th and 26th. Get those tickets. I will be 100% and better. Yes, and thank you so much, you guys. Everything's at heathermcdonald.net.